This is Digital Dave, and I'm definitely not subtle.
No. I'm Fast Eddie, and I'm even worse than he is.
Okay, and we'll just leave it at that.
That's it. Let it die gracefully. Right now with us in the studio, Adam Yingling from NASA.
Hi, guys.
NASA.
Pleasure to be here.
Are you a rocket scientist?
Some would say so.
Okay.
But right now, I'm a aerospace engineer.
Ooh.
That's close.
Pays better.
Yeah.
You get to touch the hardware more, that's for sure.
Ah,
there you
good.
Go. And you're involved with the X-57 Maxwell?
I'm involved with advanced air mobility and the integration of automated systems. So not Maxwell.
Oh, okay. Well,
okay. Well, we were close.
We were close. We tried.
Maxwell isn't very far, though. We do a lot of testing on that close to Armstrong, where I'm headquartered out.
Okay. So say that again, what you were doing, something about advanced integration with something.
Yep. The integration of automated systems. So we flight test automation technologies for the eVTOL concepts.
Okay.
The electric vertical takeoff and landing.
Right. So you're the one that is testing the concept of me telling it to go to the McDonald's and then just sitting back while it does the rest. Is that what I'm getting?
That is probably one use case. We haven't, worked out those details.
Yeah, right. The McDonald's aren't in the database yet.
But
Starbucks is.
But that is the idea. We got to go from the suburban environment where you live to the urban environment where you work or want to get McDonald's.
Yeah.
And bypass all that pesky traffic on the way.
All I can think of is the movie The Fifth Element, where you had total congestion in three dimensions instead of two.
Yeah, like, there you go.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, we do want to avoid that.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, the other thing I keep thinking of is George Jetson's car.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
I want you guys to develop a car that'll fly like that and then fold into a briefcase.
Yeah, well, they will eventually.
Of course, the thing is, you'll never be able to carry it because it weighs a ton.
Well, where are we on this journey?
Oh, we are not at the beginning. We are probably a couple years away from seeing some commercial companies get these options as apps on your phone that you can hail a ride and then take a ride to the airport in New York instead of being in the traffic. So
now you're talking about an automated ride, though. No pilot.
No, there'll still be a pilot.
Oh, okay.
And there's actually a few concepts out there. One of the companies is completely automated, no pilot, and it's going to take them a lot longer to get there. Some of the other companies, they want a pilot up front, and the automation is for safety and really for simplifying the workload in the cockpit. So
okay.
You don't have not as much housekeeping going on.
It just reminds me so much of this Bugs Bunny commercial. They flip the autopilot on the airplane is in obvious distress, and the robot pilot, which looks like a little robot, runs to the back of the airplane, grabs a parachute, and bails out.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
But, automation systems are terrific. Now, you're designing this stuff to handle the most basic of tasks, I'm assuming, like power plant monitoring, navigation.
Right. Coffee dispenser,
yeah. And, of course, autopilot functions. The pilot's still going to have the final say.
That's right, yeah. Pilot stays in authority here. The automation goes beyond just the aircraft, though. There's a whole infrastructure that's needed to get good information so that the automation technologies can make good decisions that the pilot can trust. So
right.
with bad information, doesn't matter if it's software or a person, you're not going to make good decisions. So the data that needs to be serviced up to the aircraft to tell where the other aircraft are and where they intend to go, that's part of what we're testing. So we need more than ADS-B that reports your current position. In order to do the planning properly and to scale, you need to know where those aircraft are going to be in the future with pretty good resolution. And we call those 4D trajectories.
That's tough. I mean, it's tough. I mean, and you also base those projections on the aircraft not changing its direction velocity or whatever.
Well, we base that off the aircraft not changing its mind. So the 4D trajectories, they do highlight geometrical shapes. So it's not just straight point to point. It can have arcs and turns. But things come up. So say weather occurs, they're going to have to change their flight plans, and all that needs to be communicated so everyone can accommodate those changes. And so that's part of the automation technology we're flight testing.
You're actually flight testing this?
Yes.
Where?
Great question. So we have partnered with Sikorsky in Stratford, Connecticut. They have been working with DARPA for the past 8 years, developing a automated test bed, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And it's based off of these aircraft platforms, F-76B, that is robust, well-known, and they've layered underneath these trusted mechanisms automation. So we can send automation technologies we don't trust yet, information and autopilot commands, and they'll get rejected if they're end up being unsafe for one reason or the other. So we've got a safe way to vet these things to make sure they're doing what we think they're going to do.
Yeah, that's always the tough part, verification.
Yeah. That's the first part that the, you know, the pilot says, why is it doing that when things first go wrong?
That's right.
Yeah. Did you get responses from test pilots? Like when you first were looking for test pilots and you say, well, we're doing this and that and do this, and you're going to be, by the way, you're not actually flying the plane. The guy must have went like, huh, what, excuse me?
you're not flying the plane. We don't really trust these algorithms yet.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Want to go for a ride?
The test pilots are actually, they love this kind of stuff. It's not that they're not going to be flying. These aircraft also have inceptors, they're like joysticks, and so it's almost like flying, but you're voting. Like,
right.
You get the vote on whether or not you're going to go this way or that way. We've done some initial flights with Sikorsky on their platform, and they've worked out really well. And the type of inputs we're planning the pilots to make, which is also part of the testing, is these tablets that sit on their laps, kind of like iPads. And much like a four-flight plan, you would indicate where you want to go. The automation technology would reach out to all the network services, get all the best, newest information, and make a plan out. And then the pilot would decide out of an option of like three or four, the path that he thinks is best. And then the automation aircraft, in this case a helicopter, would do that. But this is all supposed to be platform agnostic. So we want to transition this technology to eVTOLs in the near future.
Okay. So it's not fully automated. It's automated with approval.
That's right. And to get to autonomy, which is this idea of the aircraft is going to take you from A to B, and you can completely trust it. And
take a nap, read the paper.
Go down and sleep. You have to build up automation to get to autonomy. We're not going to start out the gate with the Jetsons. Not for a while. It's going to take us a long time.
Next week.
And then there's always the being able to sense unplanned or unknown obstructions or
that's right
bird strike or weird stuff
or even system problems with the aircraft. You get that little red light that comes on and says, "Oh snap!"
Yeah.
That's actually one of the algorithms we're testing. It's called hazard perception and avoidance. Mm-hmm. It's a automated flight contingency management program, and it's going to be one of the first things we test. We're using ADS-B as our input sensor to begin with, but in the future it's going to be LIDAR or some other sensors on board the aircraft.
I would think that the big issue with the sensors, the LIDAR and all that, is it's a limited range sensor, and you're flying fast enough that you can't get the data fast enough to react.
Yeah, that's certainly an active area of research and development.
Yeah.
Is getting the sensors to high enough capability that it's not the thing that's limiting our flight envelope.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
I just think this has the, you know, first off, tell me it's not running on Windows 10, you know? Please.
Hey, what does it mean? It says insert coin.
What is this blue screen of death stuff, you know?
It is not running on Windows 10, thankfully.
That's a good thing.
I can just hear the automation computer. Dave.
Dave.
Dave. There's a problem, Dave. Dave.
I can't do that, Dave.
Yeah, right. Get that voice. Oh, my goodness. So you're actively testing like mad.
Actively testing like mad. It's a very exciting time.
Wow.
Please make it so that it doesn't turn out like a self-driving car.
Well,
some of those stories are horrifying.
That's the problem. The unknowns.
This morning I was driving in, and the rental car has this lane assist function, and the cones for getting in here were pushing my car against the other lane, and then the lane assist was pushing me into the cones. So I had to go turn that off, and that had me thinking about automation and flight. It's like, yes, we need to be able to control when these things are working, because you can imagine a scenario where its intended form and function isn't going to work out because of, well, it's not going to be cones in space, but
it doesn't matter. It could be a perceived restriction for whatever reason.
It could be maybe raindrops.
Well, it also ties in with that highway in the sky project that has been bounced around for a number of years.
Do you have the capability for the pilot to say, I'm declaring an emergency, automation, you're done. That's my aircraft.
Absolutely. In fact, all the pilot has to do is put his hands on the controls and put a little force in. And then the automation shuts off, and it's back to a normal helicopter.
Okay.
That's good.
Very good. Very good. Well, we wish you guys luck.
Oh, thanks.
I'm glad I don't live wherever they're... No, I'm just kidding.
Yep.
I don't want automated things falling out of an automated sky.
Yeah. Yeah,
neither do we.
Good. All right, this is Digital Dave.
I'm Fast Eddie. We've been talking with Adam Yingling here from NASA, and this is EAA Radio.